Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you for all your people that are here gathered at the moment, those that are yet coming in, and those that will listen later on. We give you all the praise and all the glory. I pray, Lord, as always, the entrance of your word that brings light and gives understanding, let it be so for us even on this morning, in Jesus' name. Let us hear the encouragement of the Spirit of the Lord, even here today, through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I have touched and preached on this message before, but since we're on the subject of encouragement, I was thinking, how else can I encourage the people? I mean, it looks like I've preached everything in the book, you know, to encourage the people of God. You know, I'm thinking, well, I mean, how else can I encourage them this morning? Well, not this morning. I was thinking about that yesterday. Just thinking about it and so on. You know, and then the Lord brought me to this message. And I said, oh, well, but I, you know, preached that before. And so the Holy Spirit made me to know that I should encourage you again with the words of this message. A different way. A little bit different this morning, but today the topic is entering the appointed time for the king's favor. Now, particularly at this time, through the grace of God, I have been standing in on my watch, even in my private time, just on my mind, no matter what I'm doing, I'm just thinking about, you know, people of God in, you know, on this platform and through last morning to here, to where we are now, what the Lord has been saying. And Lord, you know, I'm thinking, you know, when would thou appear and cause thy glory to be shown and cause your people to inherit the grace of your, you know, of your glory and all of that. I'm just thinking, I'm praying and believing, you know, and so, want to encourage you with these few words today. You know, first let me read as a background a story from Acts chapter 17. Now, in Acts chapter 17, you know, many things were written about, you know, Paul and so on, you know, in all his journeys and different things. In one particular place, he went to this place called Athens, and he was going, he said, he called it Mars Hill. There was a place there, and when he was going through there, he passed through, he saw an inscription, you know, that they wrote somewhere, you know, and they said, to the unknown God. So, Paul was motivated to speak to them. Now, so let's read it. Acts chapter 17 and verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by, I beheld your devotions, you know, as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. So he was passing by. He saw the, it was a religious city, but, you know, somehow in the wrong way. And then he said, well, they put this, so he saw a place, you know, and they put to the unknown God on top, you know, over it. And here's what he said, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. So he's going to tell them. Now this person, you know, as you're saying, unknown God, well, let me tell you about him. You know, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, hallelujah, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing that he giveth life to all, and breath, and even all things. And he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And he had determined, see, this is where we're going. God had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. Now, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold and silver and stone, graven arts and man's devices. Because this was the things that the people carved out. And the times of this ignorance God had winked at, but now commanded every man everywhere to repent. So that's a commandment. Now, because he has appointed a day in the which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, whereof he had given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. It's talking about Christ. And so when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some of them mocked. But others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter, you know, and so on. So, what I want to call out from this story, there's many things we can preach about this story, but I want to just focus on the things he said about God appointing the times, you know, because that's what this today's lesson is. You know, he said God is the one that appoints the times beforehand. He has set those times in order. He has appointed a time for blessing. He has appointed a time even to judge the world in righteousness. According to Ecclesiastes 3, when you read the first 8 verses, we're told that there is a time, you know, for everything. Well, that time is appointed by God. You know, I am going to say a few things today, but I'm also going to give you a disclaimer, you know, of sorts. Now, we're talking about God appointing times and that we are now entering into a particular time that God has appointed. It's a particular time and a particular season that God has appointed. You know, and if you read carefully this Ecclesiastes 3, you see all the various seasons and all the times. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up, and so on and so forth. Well, you know, it's all kinds of times. Time to get, time to lose, time to keep, time to cast away, time to rent, time to sow, time to keep silence, time to speak, time for war, time to peace. I mean, it just puts it all out there. You know, so it's all there. The times that God appoints. Well, I want to focus on a particular time and a particular season. You know, in the scriptures, even in the gospels, there was reference made oftentimes when the word certain will be used. You know, so like this story, one of my favorite stories when I teach on the subject of, persistence or resilience and so forth, you know, in faith. And, you know, this man who, you know, kept coming, you know, we read that story in John chapter 5, you know. So in that particular story, we're told that there was a great multitude of people that waited around some water waiting for some angel to come and stir the pool. Why? Because it says here in John chapter 5 and verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season. So there was a certain season appointed unto God. And, you know, when the people knew that that season was drawing near based on experience in the past, they would gather around. They were waiting for that certain season. So there was a certain season known to God. Praise the Lord. Well, the scripture actually says, if you read it carefully, you know, in Acts chapter 15, there was a story in Acts chapter 15 where the apostles, you know, were debating, you know, what kind of messages, you know, to preach, you know, to the folks and to the Gentiles and the Jews and so on and so forth. Well, there was this pronunciation made by James when he began to give a summary of all the things that they had been discussing. And in verse 18 of chapter 15 of the Acts of the Apostles, he said, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." Well, what does that mean? Well, that means God already knew what time those works will show up. You know, one time Jesus said, when they asked him in John chapter 9, about the man who was born blind for 40 years, he was still blind. They asked him, disciples asked him a question. Everybody was curious. I mean, this man, I mean, why in the world was he born blind? You know, I mean, from the womb, had not done anything. I mean, what made him blind? Well, perhaps he did something. So they asked, was it the parents' sin, the sin of the parents, you know, passed from generation to generation that caused this man to be blind? Or was it something that he himself did, which God already knew? And Jesus' answer, you know, cleared up that, you know, question. He said, look, you know, it is not the fact that this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God, you can read that in the first two or three verses of John chapter 9. Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in. So these works that God determined, he determined a certain time that they will show up in this man. And unfortunately for the man, you know, 40 years would pass in his life until that appointed time that the works of God will show up in his life. And Jesus said it, that it's so that the works of God might be made manifest in him. And Acts 15 and 18 tells us that the known unto God are his works from the beginning. So all of these things are predetermined by God. But that being said, let me say this disclaimer that, you know, at any time and any season, anyone, if you have the right kind of understanding and you have the right kind of faith, you can tap into God's favor. You know, whether it is time for the thing collectively or globally to people, anybody can tap in. And God has shown us some stories in the Bible. There are some things that we see in the Bible that, you know, was not allowed, was not appropriate, was not the time. But yet, some people pierce what you might call the veil of time and entered into a season that was not yet. We've read the stories of, you know, David. You know, we know that this showbread and the hidden manna and all of these things, they were all a type. Well, it was a type at that time that only certain people, certain classes of the people, the priests, were entitled to certain things. That was then. When Jesus was on the cross in Matthew chapter 27, we saw that, you know, through his death, you know, the veil was rent in two, and the top to the bottom. And what does that signify to us? Well, it signifies that, you know, these partition and these things that kept, you know, these veils that kept people out, you can't go in here, you don't have access to this, it's not yet time, all these things, Jesus broke that down. As a matter of fact, one woman came to Christ. You know, we call her, you know, a Greek woman or Syrophoenician woman or whatever. There's different accounts of these lessons in the Bible. But Jesus said to her, because she was asking a favor, you know, from the master. And Jesus said to her, look, right now, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Listen to that. You know, did you know that Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24? I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, and that look, I cannot take the things which are for the children and give them to dogs. I'm sure everybody knows this story, you know. And so what Jesus is saying is that it's not yet time. First, you know, I must take care of the children of Israel, you know. And then later on, you know, well, of course, we know that, you know, we know that, you know, Jesus was made the propitiation for our sins and even for the whole world. You know, in fact, in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 6, you know, this was the Holy Spirit through the prophet Isaiah telling us in advance, you know, the role of the Christ, that it will not be to Israel only. In fact, he said in Isaiah 49 and verse 6, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. You know, that's a small thing. I will give thee also to be the light to the Gentiles. So this thing was already prophesied about the Christ, that thou mayest be my salvation to the end of the earth. Wow. But Christ, he was dividing the times, you know. He said, look, right now, yeah, I know I will be the light to the Gentiles and so forth. I will be the salvation to the ends of the earth. But right now, first, I go to the house of Israel. In fact, you know, some of the apostles, Paul and so forth, you know, said that, look, they went to the Jews, they preached, the Jews rejected and said, well, and as much as we rejected the counsel of God, now we go to the Gentiles. So we understand these things. But nevertheless, despite the fact that Jesus was saying it wasn't the appointed time yet for the Gentiles, this woman of Tyre and Sidon, or, you know, Syrophoenician, whatever you call her, she pierced the veil of time. Jesus made it very clear. It's not yet time. I can't take that which is children, give it to those. She said, yeah, I understand that. But while the children are eating, some crumbs will fall to the ground. And when they do, the dogs can eat of that. And Jesus said, my. great! It's that faith, O woman, can pierce the veil of time. So that's a disclaimer that I want to make concerning a message like this. That look, at any time, if you have the right kind of faith, you can pick whether it is time or not time. You know, I mean, you can go, you know, Paul said, look, I'm like one born out of season. You can pierce this time veil, because God has already, through Christ, you know, torn down that veil. You know, however, I'm talking now for how God deals with groups of people and his purposes for their church. I'm not talking about individuals now. Hey, you know, Enoch was an individual. He walked with God. He was translated, even though it wasn't time for people to be translated, you know, but he walked with God and he was translated. So, you know, we don't have to hide behind it's not time. Anybody that has the right kind of faith, you can even be a trailblazer. You know, you're not quite a trailblazer. You know, they accomplished something that was not yet time. You know, I mean, contrary to the norm, the fact that everybody was dying, he went beyond and said, look, I'm going to figure something out. And he did. So I put that out there. I say that to say this. Yes, That's so, but there is a timing that God appoints concerning his eternal purposes and how he deals with his people as a group, not individuals now, as a group. Hallelujah. Now, there are certain scriptures that I want to share with us to let us know that there is a set time, you know, it's a set time that God is now, what he's saying for the people of God. And this is for, you know, a group. This is for like the, you know, like a group at a time, not just an individual. I dealing with his people, you know. We just finished the Exodus series, you know. We finished the Exodus series. And when it was time, when God said it was time, he dealt with them as a group. Now, it wasn't just one person here and there that he decided to deliver from the slavery. It was all of them. He dealt with them as a group. There was a purpose and a timing and a season of their deliverance. And God dealt with them as a group. So that's what I want to focus on today. Now, Stephen, in the message that he preached in Acts chapter 7, was talking about, you know, a lot of things, tracing it down from Abraham and so forth, trying to show, you know, through their genealogies and their stories and so forth, that Christ, that Jesus, you know, of Nazareth was indeed the very Christ. So he got down into this place in Acts, you know, chapter 7 and verse 17, where he was telling this story. And he said an important thing here that I want to call out in this. And I said it before. He said, when the time of the promise drew near. You know, so there was a time in a giving that God already given. We spoke about that, how God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 15 and many things. You know, even just the other day, we were talking about it. And God appointed the times that, look, this thing will happen, and at a certain time, I will bring them out with a high hand. Now, when that time of promise drew near. Now, God knew that time. He appointed that time. Way before even Abraham had a single son. He already spoke about that. You know, so God appoints the times. And when at the times, in dealing with his people as a group, not as individual now. Remember, as an individual, you can pierce the veil at any time if you have the right kind of faith. You know, but, you know, even the story that Jesus told in Mark chapter 2 concerning David, you know, when his disciples, you know, were going through the cornfields and plucking corn and so on. You know, and they were saying, you know, well, your disciples are doing that which is not lawful to do on a Sabbath day, you know, and so forth. And Jesus said, well, you know, have you never read that which David did in the days of, you know, such and such, Abiathar the priest and all of these things, how that he went? He said the same thing in Matthew chapter 12, how that he went into the house of God and did take, you know, the thing that was not lawful for him to eat. Not only did he eat it, he also gave it to the people. You know, it wasn't time. There was coming a time that God had appointed that all of us can be priests. He gave that invitation to them, you know, in Exodus chapter 19. He gave that invitation to them. You've heard me say it multiple times. But they rejected that offer. So they lost that offer, you know, for generations. And generations and generations. He wanted them to be priests, all of them, not just, you know, one small tribe here or there, you know, Exodus 19 and 5. But they couldn't do it. So this thing was far removed from them. And at the time that David did this thing that Jesus was testifying about, it wasn't time for the general people to enter in. It was just a, you know, selected group of people that could enter in one particular tribe here and there, you know. So, but David entered in. And not only did he take the thing, he gave it to others that were with him. God didn't strike anybody down. You know, because, you have to just look at these stories. There's a man called Uzzah. One time he was, when they were coming out, you know, in the story of, Ark coming out, and they were trying to move and cross the Jordan and go in and so forth. You know, the oxen that carried the ark was shaking, and he put his hand to try to help it. And the Lord said, no, he struck him down. Now, that was somebody that had no understanding. That was somebody that did not have the favor of God or understood the mercies of God. Now, David, on the other hand, he could go into something that he wasn't entitled to. And God did nothing about it. You know, in fact, Christ was even testifying about it, even using it to prove something. That, look, you know, all these things that you guys are stuck on. You know, if you understood judgment and you understood mercy, if you understood what God said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You understood these things. You won't be stuck on all these things. So David pierced the time veil. This Syrophoenician woman, she pierced the time veil. You know, a lot of people, you know, pierce the time veil. You know, even that thief on the cross. You know, I mean, he has spent all his life, you know, being a criminal, you know, and he's been crucified. And it wasn't quite time, you know, for the Lord, you know, to lead captivity captive. He was getting there, and he was going to do it. He was going to take, you know, those that were below up. But this man, you know, immediately, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That man, he pierced that veil. You know, anytime, you know, people can pierce the veil if they have the right kind of faith. And Jesus showed it to us many times. But as a people and as a group, there is something that the Lord has been telling us. Now, some people have individually, when the Lord began to tell us that it is time for you to emerge last year, you know, we don't see the people as a group emerging, maybe here a little, there a little, maybe somebody over here and somebody over there. We're talking about the group. God is fixing to do something. When the Lord said you experience a quantum leap, of course, that was an individualistic message. He said, some of you, you know, but we're also talking about the Exodus. We're talking about the time of rest. We're talking about, you know, what God has for his people. Well, you can get it individually, but I want to talk about what God has for his people as a whole people. Hallelujah. Together. Praise God. But we are now in that season. This is not just I tap into it, you know, even though it's not the season. This is actually the season. Glory to God. You know, so where is the set time? Where is it? That set time, where is it? But let's talk about it. Jesus, and even in his prayer, when he was praying in John chapter 17, and there was a way that he opened that prayer, the most incredible prayer that was in that Bible, you know, and he opened it up by saying this in verse 1. He said, Father, the hour has come. Praise God. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, let me say it to you this way. The hour indeed has come. That the Lord will glorify the sons of the kingdom. That's right. That we will inherit the glory of the Christ. The hour has come. Now, Jesus, in this same prayer, he was saying, oh, Father, you know, I have glorified you. You know, I have finished your work, which you sent me to do. Now, therefore, oh, Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee at the beginning. There was a time he was praying, you know, and he was praying that kind of prayer. And there was a voice I heard from him. He said, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. And Jesus prayed that kind of prayer. You know, now he said, look, I've manifested thy name to all the people you gave me and so on and so forth. You know, and he said, look, you know, in verse 22, finally, when we come down to it, so praying for us, praying for us, praying for us. Now in verse 22, he said, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them. Glory to God. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, so that the world may know that you have sent me, and you have loved them even as you loved me. So the time is coming. There are times that Jesus will say, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. In some cases, he will say the hour is coming, and we'll just leave it like that. The hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of Man. But in that particular time, he wouldn't say, and now is. He would just leave it like that. The hour is still coming. But in another case, he would say, the hour is coming, and now is, that all those that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he called the time. You know, he called the time. You know, sometimes he put it out there, and then sometimes he called it. You know, now, let me say it to you this way. Well, we've been saying the hour is coming, but now let me say the hour is as well. Glory to God. The hour of the appointed time of the king's favor. I said all of that to lay background for the king's favor. You know, and maybe tomorrow I'll talk about, you know, a little more about favor. You know, but the king's favor, or maybe not. The favor of God, it is time. The king. Now, Jesus as a king over his kingdom, you know, one time he stood before, you know, Pilate, and he said, look, they call you the king of Jews and so forth. He said this and that and so forth. And Jesus said, look, look, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were, you know, my citizens will rise up and fight. So Pilate said, oh, so you are a king then. Well, you are talking about kingdom. And Jesus said, look, you know, not only am I a king, for this purpose I was born. Hallelujah. Put it right out there. Now, Jesus as a king over his kingdom has the ability to do certain things. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to show you some of that today. Well, maybe not today, but at least leading to it. That, you know, there is a time that the king might just decide. Glory to God. You know, he can decide to give amnesty. He can decide to release people from prison. He can decide. In fact, Pilate himself, he was exercising that right. He said, look, this time of the year, I normally, as the king, release somebody unto you. Should I release Jesus or someone else? You know, they just, he would just do it. He had the power to grant that clemency, grant it at any time he wanted. And he chose a certain time to do it. But the people said they rejected Christ. They said, no, give us a criminal. So he released Barabbas, a criminal, unto them. You know, anyway, he had the power to do that. Now, Christ being a king over the household of God has the power at any time to release something. You know, but he had chosen, you know, from time to time, he can release it to the individual that taps into the grace. But now he has chosen to release it to the people. Hallelujah. You know, this wise man, you know, that wrote Solomon that wrote the book of Ecclesiastes and so forth. He said, look, you know, I have seen, you know, a lot of evil upon the earth. You know, some things that are not right that I have seen. And he said, you know, servants that ride on horses, whereas princes walk on foot. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 7. He said, it's a great travesty. You know, so what the Lord now has to do is shift that so that the people will be in their right order. Those who are princes will no longer be walking on foot while servants are riding the chariots. I mean, think of it. I mean, that's a reversal. That's a travesty. So the princes must be the ones riding in the chariots. Now, the prince may invite someone to come in, but usually the servants are on the ground, on foot. Praise the Lord. You know, this eunuch, you know, that came from, you know, Africa and so forth, that Philip met in Acts chapter 8, he was riding on a chariot. It was a prince. You know, and so forth. And, you know, when Philip drew near to him, he invited Philip to come in the chariot. And Philip entered in the chariot. Now, the prince may invite you to come on in, but, you know, you are outside unless he invites you. We see the story of Esther. When Mordecai said to her, you better go and, you know, put this thing out before the king. Because if not, you know, this man has proposed in his heart to destroy all the Jews. And don't you think for 1 minute, just because you are in the palace, that you'll be safe. He's going to get you too. And if you don't do it, who knows? Well, maybe this is the reason at such a time that God has raised you up. And if you don't do it, God will do it. He will raise somebody else up and you will be ashamed. So she said, well, okay, I'm going in. If I perish, I perish. But you pray for me. But you know the rule. I cannot just go in unless he summons him. Her uncle said, you better go in. She said, well, I'm going to go and stand in the court. If he extends favor unto me by the golden scepter, then I know my life is spared. If otherwise, I'm dead. You know, and of course, the king stretched out the golden scepter. Now, that was favor unto one person. But that favor was actually not only just to Esther. You know, she was just the gateway, or you might call the bridge, that caused that favor to pass upon all her people. And at the end, the king gave her the right for them to defend themselves and to turn around what the enemy wanted to do to them. And they should do the same to their enemies. And said, look, you know, defend yourself, you know, destroy and cause to put to death and cause to be destroyed anyone that will stand against you. And he signed it and sealed it. So various times like that, that God would put it on the heart of the king to do something. Now, in according to Psalm 102 and verse 13, we see that the time has come. Now, that he put it out there prophetically. And anybody and any group at any time can grab that. But there is a specific timing that God put in. Now, what did he say in Psalm? What does the scripture say in Psalm 102 and verse 13? Well, he said, the Lord will arise. That's right. The Lord will arise and favor his people. And at set time to favor his people has come. Now, let's talk about that set time. And let's see exactly how the Lord said it. If you read the words of this Psalm 102 and verse 13, you know, you will begin to see something there that the Lord put out. It's hidden there. He said, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. Look, the people need his mercy in order for them to get this favor. The favor, he said, the time to favor her. Yea, the set time has come. Glory to God. So the time for the king to favor his people has come. Now, what if some did not believe? Well, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 3, shall their unbelief make the word of God of none effect? Oh, God forbid. Or maybe some individuals will believe. But let me put it out there. It's actually time, you know, for you to enter in. So, the time has come for an atmosphere shift. Praise God. And you know, that is something, anything that God does upon the earth, first, he declares it in the heavens. You know, there is an unction from the throne. You know, that's what God was telling Job. In Job 38 and 33, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Do you understand that dominion upon the earth? Can you make it happen? Well, of course, if you understand it. But first, you know, God put it out in the heavens. And God said it's time. It's just like revival. When God said it's time, then he begins to put in the heart of the people to pray. And some people thought, well, maybe they prayed and, you know, there was revival. Well, yeah. But first, God said it was time. These things are dispensational. You know, and when God said it is time, first, everything starts from God. First, God says it is time. Then he puts in the heart of the people to begin to have a hunger and praying towards that thing. And God will hold off on that thing long enough until their hunger, you know, gets really like fire. And then he will release it. But first, he said it's time. Now, one of the things that God may use is, you know, let the people get uncomfortable in their situation. You know, maybe, you know, distress. You know, like in the story of the Exodus that we read. For a while, they were comfortable. And after a while, you know, things changed. And they became so uncomfortable, they started to cry out. You know, and then, you know, God said, ha, it is time. You know, so, even now, it is time, ladies and gentlemen, you know, for the Lord to favor his people. Let me hear what the Lord God will say. Psalm 85 verse 8 says that to us. I will hear what the Lord will speak. The Lord will speak peace. He will speak rest. He will speak a shift to the people of God. Hallelujah. You know, now, you must believe the word of God. When you understand, but there is an understanding that comes, you know, into us that can make us to believe these things. You know, that the merchandise of Ethiopia, you know, the men of Sabaeans, men of stature and all these things, God will begin to bring them to the people of God. Why? Just so that we can say, oh, we are rich. And increase with goods? No. God has rejected that spirit. But because the Lord said it is time, he wants to just show something. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so we have to tap into it as a people, individually as a people. You know, here is how a group of people tapped into an understanding. First Chronicles. You know, chapter 12. Yeah, let's take a quick look at that. First Chronicles, chapter 12. There was a group of people. They were called the sons of Issachar. You know, what did they do? Well, in verse 32, it says, the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. You know, so, when you have understanding of the times, it causes you to know what Israel ought to do. Praise the Lord. So I pray that God will give us an understanding of the time. You know, God's been showing me, giving me this understanding. And what we ought to do now is, you know, no limits. You know, believe God for no limits. Look. Enough time. Look, we spent a lot of years. I don't know how many some of you have spent, but by the grace of God, I spent 70 years. Majority of those years, you know, since I was 17 was when I gave my life to Christ. So that's 53 years. You know, look, you know, we're no longer doing Mickey Mouse stuff. That was then. This is now. I don't know about you, but it's time for us to mature. Paul said, look, when I was a child, I did childish things. You know, the child that's doing childish things doesn't necessarily mean that it's a sin. That's just childish. That's what they do. So being childish because they're a child. But when you are grown, Now, it will be folly for you to do childish things. Again, that's what Psalm 85 verse 8 says. It is time for the Lord to speak peace to his people, but let them not return again to folly or to the childish things. You know, it is time for us to step into, praise God, you know, come out of Egypt. He said, don't return into Egypt in your heart. The people said, we're going back. We want to go back. Well, when I was a child, I did not have understanding. Now, I want to be like the men, the children, and the sons of Issachar. They had understanding of the times. They knew what Israel ought to do, you know. And Daniel himself said, you know, I, Daniel, understood by the books. Glory to God. You know, immediately, you know, after he had been reading the messages of the writings of Jeremiah, you know, then he said, look, I understood by the books that timing, you know, where God has said he would appoint 70 years upon the, I mean, for the desolations of, you know, Jerusalem and so forth, you know, and then because of that, he set his heart, you know, to begin to pray. You can read that in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2. I, Daniel, understood, you know, by the books. So this understanding is key. And that's what I want to bring to us today. I'm not entirely going right now into what the favor will look like. That's for another day. I just want you to understand the timing today. When it is time, there's certain things that you must begin to do. You know, that's what, you know, God will begin to do certain things. There's some triggers. The word of God creates triggers. You know, when God puts something out, the word will sustain itself, but it embedded triggers in that word. And when there is a time appointed before of God, when that time, as that time begins to draw near, according to Acts chapter 7 verse 17, then the trigger, certain things will begin to come to pass. Now, the people on the ground, though, who might be beneficiaries of the things that the trigger in the Word of God is starting, they must have understanding. If you don't have understanding, you know, look, Psalm 32 and verse 8 says, I will instruct you in the way that you should go. I'll guide you with my eye. I will even instruct you concerning the times. I'm putting that there. But the next verse, Psalm 32 and verse 9 says, look, but don't be like the mule that has no understanding. You know, so don't be, you know, like the horse. They have no understanding. You have to jerk them around with this bridle and everything, you know. So have understanding of what God is saying and what God is doing. Position yourself. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are now entering into this. I'm declaring it prophetically in case you never knew it, you know, that we are now entering into a season. We have been since July. I've been declaring it since July. You know, so God wanted me to come out here and encourage you that we're actually in the time. And that's why all the lessons we've been doing for the past two or three weeks, showing you that this is the time. And even yesterday and the other day, you know, even though it may look like it's not the time, it is the time. You know, and you got to stay right there. And once you understand it, praise God. You know, there is a timing, you know. There is an angel of time. We call him the Parmoni. You can see him in Revelation chapter 10. He's called the time angel. He come out in Revelation chapter 10. You know, he sets his foot, one foot on the land, one foot on the sea. He raises up his hand. He swears by him that liveth forever and ever. And what does he say when he did that? Well, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. Who do you think that angel was? And his face was as he was the sun. And his pillars, his feet as pillars, you know, sometimes it's Christ, you know, hide himself among the angels, couched like that. But he's the messenger of the covenant. An angel is called a messenger. And he's coming out here. He's got that covenant rainbow on his head now. Hallelujah. Identify him. And then he's got the sun shining. He's got the pillars of fire, just like, you know, just like John saw him in Revelation 1. He's got that. And in his hand, there's a little book. He picked up that book in Revelation chapter 5. He picked it up. Nobody else could do it. John cried and cried, but he picked it up. This is the same person that picked up that book. Now he's ready to possess everything. And he puts his, you know, look at how it says it. He puts his right foot upon the sea. He puts his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as one of roar. A lion roared. Well, he's the Lion of Judah. My goodness. And when he had cried, seven thunders responded to his voice. You know, he's the only one that can cause those thunders to come out of there. You know, David said, I prayed and the Lord thundered with his voice. This is the Lord right here. He thundered with his voice, you know. And, but what did he say? You know, he said some things in those seven thunders. John, he understood what he said, you know. And he took his pen because he was giving instruction at the beginning. He said, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which are hereafter. And so he saw Christ walking among the seven golden candlesticks. He wrote it. He saw the messages to the seven churches. He wrote it. He saw the things that are coming ahead, and he was writing there. He heard these things that are coming in those thunders. And he took his pen and started to write, just like he was commanded. And he said, this one, you don't write. Seal up those things, sir, which the seven thunders ordered, and don't write them. Because, you know, I don't want the devil to get advantage. You know, something, when they begin to spread, when the Lord begins to thunder, and this thing will literally happen, you know, and I guarantee you, it's happening now. When the Lord would cause those thunders to be unveiled. Remember, there is nothing hidden that shall not be known. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. God told Daniel, seal these things up until the time of the end. And even the angel, you know, the Lord told John at the beginning, Revelation chapter 1, he told it, you know, these things, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God has given to him to show to his servants, not hide from us. The purpose was, the book of Revelation, the purpose of it is to show to us, not to hide anything. You know, but so if it is hidden, if some part of it is hidden, that means it will be shown. If some part of it is covered, it means it will be uncovered. Now, what did this angel, mighty angel, what he stood upon the sea and the land and so forth, what did he do? Well, he said, and I, the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that angels don't swear by the Lord. The Lord swears by himself. He swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, the earth and all the things that are in the sea and the things and so forth. That there should be time no longer. That means no more delay. Praise God. That's what time no longer means. No more delay. It is now time. What is the time? Well, Ezekiel, he prophesied the same thing. In Ezekiel chapter 12, he says to them in verses 25 and 28, he revealed this incredible timing. You know, the people always said, look, everything is future, is future, is future. Well, we've been saying that too. You know, the people of my generation, we experienced some things, praise God, but we always thought some other things were future. Everybody said future, future, future. Now, God's going to do some great thing in the future. God's going to do this great thing in the future. Well, this mighty angel, he said, no more! It is time. Glory to God. You'll hear more about that, you know, in the days ahead on this very platform. But right now, let's see the way that Ezekiel brings it out. Praise God. There is something that the people are always believing God for. They are believing quite all right, but somehow they are believing that it's not yet time. You know, here's what they said. You know, I am, the Lord revealed to them, say, I am the Lord, Ezekiel 12 and 25. You know, I am the Lord and I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. That means it is time. See, and even call them rebellious because they're always thinking in their heart that, look, when God says something, they're rebellious in their heart because they don't really believe it and they don't sanctify that word. And say, look, I will speak the word in your days and even in your days will I perform it. So the word is going to catch up with itself. You know, it's not going to be delayed anymore. And what is the word? He said, well, you know, the people are saying, well, the vision that he sees is for many days to come. And he prophesies for times that are far off. You know, that's what some people are saying when we're calling it time of rest. Saying, well, yeah, maybe rest in the millennium, maybe rest over here, maybe rest over there. But no, God said, no, the effect of every vision right now, glory to God. He said, look, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. But the word which I have spoken shall be done swiftly. Glory to God. Watch over that word. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's all that I'm going to say today. This is more like just an opener. There's some things that are coming. But I want you to understand that it is time. You know, if it's not time now, then what time will it be? I mean, look at the things that are happening around us. Praise God, you know. And God says, look, enough of that. He said that to Pharaoh. Let my people go. Now, these lessons that we've been doing, God is bringing them in a way, one after the other, building up to something. And here we are, right at the brink of something. And God is telling you that it is actually time. Now, if you didn't know that it was time, you might still be struggling in your mind that, well, maybe the Lord will do it, maybe not. That's how some people pray. And they pray, they said, well, maybe God will heal me, maybe God won't heal me. Maybe it's his will. I mean, don't even waste your time to pray if you are going to pray like that. Praise God, you know. Why in the world would you think like that? You know, it is God's will to heal you. It is God's will to do this. If you don't know God's will, then don't pray. Go first, search it out in the scriptures. That's what we've always taught the people. Don't spend any time praying and second guessing whether, oh, maybe it is God's will, maybe not. Forget the prayer. Go search the scriptures first. When you see what is God's will, then align with that. One man came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, was a leper, and he worshipped him. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And a lot of people are like that. You know, if it's my will, maybe God will heal me. If it's God's will, maybe he'll heal me. If it's not his will, maybe he won't heal me. You know, somebody in your family is sick. You know, they say, well, maybe it's God's will for them to die. You know, maybe it's this. And what kind of stuff is that? You know, you need, the Bible says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. You need to understand. If you don't understand, don't pray. You know, but when you understand, you latch onto that word and don't give an inch. And Jesus said, I will be thou clean. That's an answer. That settles it right there. That's the will of God. So let's now pray and say, maybe it's time. Maybe it's not time. Maybe God, maybe this thing that God's been saying to, you know, since July, maybe, and maybe not. Maybe it's for someone else. Maybe it's not for me. That's the difference between being persuaded and embracing. We've taught this many times. You be persuaded, well, God can do what he said, but you embrace it for yourself. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I'm going to pray over the room that God will give you understanding. I'll be speaking more on this subject, but I want you to understand that we're now entering into the time of God's favor, the King's favor. And we're going to see, you know, I'm going to be praying that God will make you become what I call favor magnets. You're going to hear me talk about it, you know, and then see how God will do incredible things in your life just because God said it's time. You know, when no matter how the devil had tried to pummel, cheat you out of everything, Laban, he tried everything for 20 years, tried to cheat Jacob out of so many things. Cheated him out of the wife he wanted. Cheated him out of many things. Changed his wages 10 times. Did everything and everything. But one day, God said, he rebuked him. He said, look, don't speak a word here or there, even to him and so forth. And he came and he gave Jacob the inspiration of the Almighty to gain back everything and cause a shift. Shifted all the wealth of Laban to Jacob for all the evil that Laban had done to him. Well, same thing God did to the children of Israel when they were coming out. He said, go to your neighbors. And before he did that, he tormented Egypt to the point where they were ready to give up anything just to get them out of their land. And so they brought them out with a high hand and with silver and with gold. Praise God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I pray that the Lord will give you understanding that it is time. God already said it is time to the Pharaohs and the Assyrians. I will break them in my land, the Lord said. And it is time. And God, I pray the Lord, even now, Father, I pray for your people that are listening to this, that they will receive understanding of the times, just like the children of Issachar. And then when they receive that understanding, they will know what to do. Lord, I pray, even as you said to Job, you said, gird up now thy loins as a man. And let me ask you if you have understanding. Praise God. Well, Lord, I challenge everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you here today to understand the timing of the Lord. You know, and here is what the Lord wants me to say to you, you know, as, you know, we close, you know, this lesson. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 7. This is what the Lord wants me to say to you to close this message. There are things in the Lord's universe, even nature. They understand the timing of the Lord. They know when it is time to migrate. They know when it is time to hibernate. They know these things, you know. Nature does. But the Lord said, my people do not understand the timing of the Lord. You know, so we're going to make it plain. He said, write the vision and make it plain, that he may run that readeth it. Well, so, you know, we're no longer going to couch it in mysteries. You know, that was the days of the times when the seven thunders were hidden and couched. You know, but now we're in the days of time no longer. Hallelujah. Now, the stock in heaven knoweth our appointed times. Jeremiah 8 and 7. The turtle, the crane, you know, all these things, the animals and so forth, they know their time. They know when to come. They know when to go. They know when to hibernate. They know all these things. But my people, they don't know the timings of the Lord. But you will. Hallelujah. May the Lord give you understanding in the name of the Lord Jesus that we are now in that season. We are entering into the time. And we will show by evidence of the Holy Spirit, if the Lord allows me, I will show that you conclusively the time. And I will show the kinds of things that God wants to do. Praise the Lord. So, Father, bless everyone that's in the room here this morning. In the name of Jesus, let their hearts be charged up. And they may say, did not our hearts burn within us as we heard the word and in anticipation of what God's going to do? Why, absolutely. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless everyone. Grant you understanding. Understanding is so key. Because if you don't understand the message, the devil will come and pluck it out from the heart. Grant them understanding of the times and what you are set to do. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, who is strong enough to disannul what the Lord has put in motion? Ha! Glory to God. God is putting this in motion now for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.